Blog Talk Radio.
Certainly, this universe do need devotion. And the evidence doesn't lie in any shape, form, or fashion. We're glad you join us today. My name is Yam Suk Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. into multi-layered relationships. If you read some of these stories are linear, meaning that they're one individual in Yah. But in these studies, we find they're multi-layered and multi-relationships. They're intricate as we go forward and continue on in our studies. And the central theme of these stories, if you keep in mind during our studies, if you pull back the layers like an onion, the central theme in these stories, or should be, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the players in the stories may change in dynamics and components, but the central theme to the story never changes. It is always the same, but it's the multi-layered characters around that central theme that seems to change during the dynamic of the relationship. And with that change comes a constructive response and or a non-constructive response as we do these studies. And keep in mind when we do these studies, don't study them from a linear way of thinking, one-dimensional. You must study these sometimes in a multi-dimensional way of thinking. Your mind should approach these studies from different aspects and from different personalities to get to the gist, the core of the matter. The central theme never changes, but the characters around the central theme changes. And with that change, as I said, come a constructive response and a non-constructive response. That should mean something to you. It should mean something to all of us fellow students. And Cottrell and I will get right into our studies as soon as I make my contemporary comments about ongoing subject matters. A recent shooting has just occurred in Texas. And how can I put this delicately? And the only way I can put it is just like Malcolm X said, chickens come home to roost. Meaning, from what I'm saying, I don't know what Malcolm X meant by it, but I can tell you what I mean by it. If anything is about you, is about the conception, the inception of you, the very beginning of you, it's about balance. You're born in balance. You're bred in balance. You're living in balance. Your books are about balance. Your movies are about balance. Gun balance. Doesn't it stand the reason that the end results will be balance? That old saying still applies here. You reap what you sow. It's true. You reap what you sow. And also, I want to talk about a Senator Manchin. What do I think about Manchin? I don't think very much about him, one way or the other. I think he's a fool trying to talk to other fools. If he thinks he can get anything out of Republicans that make any sense, I suspect he's a fool or he's complicit with the fools, one of the two. That's what I think about Joe Manchin and anyone of his inkling. he's going to reason with folks living in Twilight Zone. What does that make him? Is he a fool or he's complicit with whatever the fools are doing, one way or the other? That's what I think about Joe Manchin and people of his inkling. Also, I'm still concerned about the children south of the border. Hadn't heard much about them, but I'm still concerned about them. I'm concerned about the people in Tigray, Ethiopia. Hadn't heard much about them, but I'm still concerned about them. I'm concerned about the people in Myanmar, Asia. Hadn't heard much about them, but I'm still concerned about them. And I think that about covers it. So I'm going to bring my brother and friend on, Cartrell from New York City. Then we're going to get right into our studies. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf. Shalom. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, Katria. Appreciate it. May it bless your family also. You know what, Katria? I do have one more thing to say. And I'm sorry. I do have one more thing to say. And this is about the guy that they brought on earlier today in the trial of the murder of George Floyd. Not only was George Floyd murdered, he was tortured. And the thing about that is this. It brought me back to mind how they used to torture us and murder us before as strange fruits. And George Floyd is a classic example of what they used to do to Emmett Till and the brothers and sisters they lynched, and time passed. They tortured us, and sometimes they tortured us and they murdered us, they burnt us, and they did everything they could to us and then some. So George Floyd is a modern day sense of torture and murder. And that guy they had on, that Scottish guy, whatever, that guy, he socked soul to Derek Chauvin and his defense attorney. That's all I got to say, Cartrell. Thank you.
Are you talking about Dr. Tobin?
Yeah, Dr. Tobin. He wasn't Toby, but he certainly was Dr. Tobin.
Yeah, Dr. Tobin told it all a high perspective where you could understand it like he was 4 years old.
He certainly did.
Real
gentleman, didn't raise his voice, didn't cuss and fuss and fight at nobody. So like we do on the Real Talk for Real People show. Well, we be talking, y'all's true, but he was talking about the physiological effects of the body and so on, but he didn't cuss and fuss and fight with the police officers and whatnot. He just made his points and got his point across. So like we do on a Real Talk for Real People show, Cartrell. I was impressed with him.
Because he brought out real good details. Like the fact that he was in a prone position against the street and the police officer was behind him on his back with his knee in his neck and his back. Plus, they had him handcuffed and his left hand, they were putting in like a hold, like a jujitsu hold.
Right.
And they were, both cops had their hands on that left hand and they were pushing it up towards his chest, which compressed his chest where he couldn't breathe. He was using his right hand to try to get his right side up so he could get some oxygen in. They showed him pushing up against the ground and pushing up against the car tire. And you could see he was desperate. Not only that, but after he stopped breathing, the officer that's being charged stayed on his neck for 2 minutes and 30 some odd seconds. Mm-hmm. After he had a pulse, he stayed on like whatever time it was. And, evidence that they presented today is devastating. And the defense attorney didn't really have anything that stuck to the wall against what he testified.
Nothing. With none of the witnesses today. And I tell you what, Cartrell, that clip where he showed Brother Floyd when his spirit left his body, you can see it.
Wow.
You can see. They showed a short clip. His lips was moving, and his face, his facial muscles was reflecting, was twitching, and his eyes open, and then it closed. And you could see his spirit leaving his body, man, so to speak.
Well, he broke down a lot of important details. Like they kept saying, if you could talk, you could breathe. He said that's a myth.
Right.
That the more he talked, the less oxygen he was getting. And he was being deprived of oxygen by the pressure that was put on him. But I want to go back to what the theme of what we're reading, because you said the theme is Yah, and yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the theme is also the history of the nation of the children of Israel, Yah and the nation of Israel, and our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theme. And we get different characters within our nation and their dealings with Yah and how our people dealt with the Most High. But this is our history. This is not a religious study. This is the history of the nation of Israel.
That's very well true. But even that being said, I still stand by and say it, because what I'm saying basically, Katya, I agree with you. But I'm saying the only constant that didn't change in those dynamics, in those multi-layered relationships, was Yah. So the character may change, the situation may change, but the only constant that didn't never change was Yah.
And Yah's interaction or lack thereof with his nation, mm-hmm. Yisrael, and
exactly.
all the surrounding nations. So it's,
mm-hmm.
it's not the Bible. People look at it as a religious book, but it's actually the history of the Most High's relationship with this peculiar nation, Yisrael.
Exactly.
We already read about the prophets that he chose. We read about the judges, and none of them
exactly.
were perfect.
No.
The judges wasn't perfect.
No.
See, Samuel is similar on the scale of judges and prophets. He's
right.
right there with Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they didn't have a judge like Joshua or Samuel. They had various
right.
other judges, but they weren't on that level of Joshua
exactly.
and Samuel. So
exactly.
now we got the history of what our people did after the 400-year period of the judges.
Right.
This is 400 years of our history
right.
that we just read in the judges. Now we're in the book of Samuel. And
right.
he's actually the last judge, and he's also a prophet. So
mm-hmm.
we see how he got his power. He's a
right.
prophet on a level, not on the same level as Moses, but on the level of Joshua, where
mm-hmm.
his words are powerful. Why are his
mm-hmm.
words powerful? Because he's the messenger and the servant of the Most High Yah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I concur.
So far as the violence in this country, yes,
mm-hmm.
you're absolutely right. These people see themselves as conquerors, which is why conquerors always got to keep their weapons near their bed. And we know
mm-hmm.
that America is loaded with guns. America is the only country that has shootouts. How many shootouts have there been since January now? We had one we had one in South Carolina today, too, you didn't mention. It was a shootout in South Carolina.
You blink, you'll miss one.
There was a shootout in Atlanta, in Colorado, Texas, and we're still counting.
Exactly. I mean, I suspect, contrary to fellow students, maybe before we get off there, there'll be two more.
You mentioned the politician Manchin.
Yeah, Joe Manchin.
I wonder if he laid it to Charles. But anyway.
You're wrong with it. But
he's from West Virginia.
Yeah.
And he might be, a relationship to Charles Manson. But the politician I'm looking at is Gates. What's his name? Gates. This dude from Florida.
Gates from Florida. The pervert.
Yeah. The pervert. His man in Florida that he was running with, he said he want to take a plea deal, which means your man Gates is in trouble. Because if he take a plea deal with them prosecutors, he's going to point the finger at that politician.
Well, Cadrell, there's a saying that we always use in the neighborhood. Why do 10 when you can tell them a friend? Okay.
There you go.
And it seems to play in this case.
The thing that struck me today was that trial. We didn't see how they were torturing him. The doctor that was in it, Dr. Tobin, he took
right.
away the police car and showed graphically what their position actually was. I didn't realize
mm-hmm.
all of them were on his body. I thought
mm-hmm.
they were maybe on the ground just holding him down. But
mm-hmm.
all of them had their weight, one on his legs, one in his torso, and
mm-hmm.
Carvin in his back and his neck. So,
the defense attorney
tried to be flipped and show the knee that was
right.
in his back, as
right.
if that was like an excuse for, this is the knee you're talking about. No, we're talking about the left knee. We see the right,
right.
knee, but we're
right.
talking about that left knee that cut off that particular artery.
Right.
And he said, you're smaller and smaller as your lungs, can't take that much oxygen in.
Yeah, but the right knee, according to him, had another devastating thing. It was suppressing that left lung. It was
right.
suppressing that left lung. So no matter... all this place
yeah.
his knee was, Cartrell and fellow students, all this split in halves where his knee was, no matter what his knee was on George Floyd, Brother Floyd's body, it had a tortuous effect on that brother, okay? and yes. the manipulation of the handcuffs. The other one on his thigh and his buttocks. The other on his leg. But I'm gonna show you how powerful the spasm he had when he was dying. When his leg kicked up, the man couldn't hold his leg. See, death, the restraints of death like that. He had to put his leg back down twice. But that wasn't George Floyd voluntarily doing it. That he was in death grips, and his body was convulsing. And I could imagine in my mind's eye, Cadre, because when Dr. Tobin said, put your hand right here, put your hand right there, I was doing the very same thing. Tears was in my eyes. I was like the little girl, the little nine-year-old girl, Cadre. I was mad and sad.
Yeah,
I was mad.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They said when he went through that, the handcuffs on his wrists were shaking. You could hear him shaking. When he was going through that period that you're talking about.
Right.
And the fact that they didn't get up off him after that shows
what did y'all say? They are cruel toward us, man. That's that's just cruelty, Cottrell. Inhumane. But you know what, Cottrell and fellow students? It ain't the first time. It ain't the first time.
The defense attorney trying to throw drugs and heart condition, his health condition. The man asked the doctor, did he die of a heart attack? No. Did he die of an overdose? No. What did he die of? He died of lack of oxygen based on the fact that the man was on his neck and they put pressure on his lungs and he could not breathe in a two ways you need to breathe, back and forth and side to side. Your chest needs to expand sideways and you need to have that back and forth motion when you breathe.
Yeah, you had to have that pumping back and forth, and then you had to have that uplift pumping, lifting the air up and out. You had to have the chest compressing in and out, and then you had to have the air lifting in and out. And a lot of that wasn't going on. They had disrupted that flow. But let me tell you this, Cottrell, and we're going to get in our study because we can be at this all day. Just like the same excuse. You can make up any excuse you want to make up. I read the story about Emmett Till. I read the details about it. I read how they took that little boy in the barn and beat him like he was a grown man, a 14-year-old boy, all on the words of a white woman saying he whistled at her, and they tortured that little boy. Then
they
shot
beat him.
Yeah.
They stabbed him. They shot him. They hung him, and they burned him.
No, they put a gin mill around his neck. Then they threw him in the Tallahatchie River, I believe. I believe the river was Tallahatchie. I could be wrong, but I think it was the Tallahatchie River.
14 years old.
So imagine, if they do that to a 14-year-old, what's a 46-year-old? They are cruel toward us. And they are unmerciful. One guy was talking about Cartier. He was walking by the barn that they were beating Emmett Till in. You know, this black guy. He said he thought it was a wounded animal. He went up there, peeped in the barn. They was beating him like he was beating a grown man.
And he was from Chicago, and he went down south with his family. But he ain't know the rules of the South.
No. It's a cruel world down here, Cartrell. Cruel world. Well, it's cruel everywhere for us. Let's just keep it like that. All right, fellow students. Cartrell and I have digressed, but we're going to get right into our studies. Chapter 7, Book of Samuel, First Samuel. Give you a few seconds to get that. May the Most High bless us by the study of his word, and once studied and understood, the application. The Philistines had sent back the Ark of the Covenant. Come down, take it to your keeping. The men of Karadarim came and took up the Ark of the Covenant and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill. They consecrated his son Eleazar to charge the Ark of the Covenant. A long time elapsed from the day that the Ark was housed in Karadarim. 20 years in all. All the house of Israel yearned after the Elohim. Samuel said to the house of Israel, if you mean to return to Yahweh with all your heart, you got to do something. And that applies today. You must remove the alien gods and the Astaroth from your midst. And furthermore, conjunction, direct your heart to Yah and serve him alone. Then what will happen? He will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines. You got to do something. You can't cuss, fuss, and fight. You got to clean up your own yards. The Israelites removed Balaam and Astaroth. They did something. And they served Yah alone. Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to Yah for you. They assembled at Mizpah, and they drew water and poured it out before the Elohim. They fasted that day. And there they confessed. They made a confession. You got to make some confessions. That they had sinned against Yah. And Yah acted as, and Samuel acted as prince of the Israelite at Mizpah, all the Israelites. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had assembled at Mizpah, they thought something was going on. The kings of the Philistines marched out against Israel. Hearing of this, the Israelites were terrified because they had already got their butt whooped by them twice of the Philistines. And they implored, which they should have did first quarter before they got there behind them. They implored Samuel, do not neglect us. Do not refrain from crying out to Yah, our Elohim, to save us. They had their minds right, not by their own strength and might, but by Yah, to save us from the hands of the Philistines. Thereupon Samuel took a suckling lamb, sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to Yah. And Samuel cried out to Yah in behalf of Israel. As Cottrell indicated, he was a prophet of Yah, and they not only a prophet of Yah, he was a prophet of Yah and a messenger of Yah. And he was a judge. And Yah responded to him because they did everything which was required. They took action upon themselves. They made confessions. They seek Yah first and foremost. They did everything as they should have did first quarter. And Yah cried out to, and Samuel cried out to Yah in behalf of Israel. And Yah responded. For as Samuel was presenting the burnt offering, the Philistines advanced to attack Israel. Yah thundered mightily against Philistines that day. He threw them into confusion. Ain't no Israelite had to do a thing. He threw them into confusion. And they were routed by Israel. The men of Israel sallied out of Mizpah, and they pursued the Philistines, striking them down to a point below Bethkar. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called it Ebenezer. For up to now, he said, the Elohim has helped us. The Philistines were humble and did not invade the territory of Israel again. The hand of the Elohim was set against the Philistines as long as Samuel lived, because he knew we weren't right. The towns which the Philistines had taken from Israel, from Ekron to Gath, was restored to Israel. Israel recovered all her territory from the Philistines. There also was peace between Israel and the Amorites. If you have peace with Yah, you're going to have peace with everybody. But if you don't have no peace with Yah, you'd be lucky you got any peace of mind at all. Samuel judged Israel as long as he lived, as Cartier alluded to. He was a judge. Each year he made the rounds of Bethel, Galgal, Mizpah, and act as judge over Israel at all those places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his house was there, And there too he would judge Israel. He builds an altar there to the Elohim. All about relationship, Katria. The relationship of this nation. All about relationships. All right, Katria. What say you, my brother and friend?
I concur with you. I agree wholeheartedly. And we see in the manner of Joshua that Joshua had connection with the Most High. And the fact that the people respected and honored Joshua and Yah and obeyed everything both Joshua and the Most High told them to do, they were extremely successful. So we see that formula again with the prophet Samuel. Because like you said, what weapon did Samuel use? He used his prayer. He used his words. And Israel was cooperative. He gave them steps to take. He said, y'all got to clean yourselves up. You got to put away your false gods that I know y'all got. And he put them away. They had them. That was the problem.
Right.
And the second thing he did was gather them. He gathered them in Mizpah. They didn't come together to argue, fuss, and fight. They came together for solutions. And what was the solution? When they gathered at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before Yah and fasted, which Imam Hadorah constantly tells our people we need to be doing. We need to repent, which Leviticus 26 tells us. And we need to ask God to forgive us and our fathers for what they did in these days and what we're doing today. And the first thing they did was gather. They didn't come to argue, fuss, and fight. They came to repent. And they got together, and that's what they were doing. But in the middle of their repenting, guess what? The enemy raised an ugly head.
It always does, Cartrell. Just because you do right don't mean your enemy going to do right by you.
Right. So as long as you're serving Yah, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Even if you're fasting and praying, and as we've seen when Joshua and our children of Israel crossed the Jordan, they had to get circumcised. So a lot of times we're vulnerable right in the midst of our enemies. But Yah is there to protect us. So he was there to protect them while they're doing this fast. And the Philistines were one of our greatest enemies. They had capabilities of making chariots and swords and army body armor, helmets and breastplates and shields and javelins and swords. We didn't have that capability. And we were able to, by the power of Yah and the goodness that was in Samuel's heart, because Samuel wasn't about himself, he was about his people. We can see, because it tells you that he went from year to year in the circuit to Bethel, to Gilgal, to Mizpah. He's going to all these places to inspire our people and getting himself known, which is why the people had confidence in him, because he knew, they knew that he was a man of God and his word was sure.
His word was sure. Did he have a title? Like some brothers and sisters like to title themselves? Did he have a title?
What we call him?
Samuel? I just wanted to know. Maybe I missed a title somewhere, Coach. I just wanted to be sure. That's all. I ain't look for no trouble.
So you remember how to say judge?
Yes.
How you say judge?
Judge. Shofat. Shofat.
And how do you say prophet? The word for prophet in Hebrew is Nabi.
Oh, Nabi.
Nabi. Yeah. Okay. So Shofat. He was a Nabi and a Shofat at the same time. Shofat Nabi Samuel.
Okay. All right.
We didn't call him that, did we? I got too much of a title.
Call him Samuel.
Just call him Sam.
Right. He was stuck on titles. He was stuck on titles. He knew what he was doing. And so he wasn't seeking for self-adulation. I guess perhaps if you're seeking self-adulation, you would be more prone to be stuck on titles. But he was more in the business of solving problems because he knew what he was and he knew who he worked for. So he didn't need a title. Sam was cool with him. I'm good. You know.
So like, where did he come from?
He came, I forget that town he came from, Cartier. I don't want to lie.
I'm talking about literally. Samuel is the product of his mother, Hannah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. It was because of Hannah's prayer. It was because of Hannah's dedication to Yah. It was because of Hannah's concern that she asked for a child that she would dedicate to the Most High that would serve Yah to help her nation.
And she certainly weaned that young fellow in braid, though. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time she would come up yearly, I'm sure she had a relationship with her child. And she spoke with him and whatnot, showed some motherly love. You know, she would bring him some clothes and whatnot she had made for him. She loved Samuel. And I'm sure when she came up, she would bring him some clothes, talk to him, hold his hand, kiss him, say she missed him. You know, you're working for Yah. You know, you can't come home. You already know. Yeah, I know, Mama. I work for Yah. And don't be seeking no title, son. No, Mama, I'm not seeking title. I listen to Eli. Yeah, I do whatever he tell me to do, Mama. I ain't trying to seek no title. I work for Yah. I'm just humble like that, just like he told me, Mama. So, yeah, you're right, Katya. Hannah did a good job weaning him and then having a constant constructive relationship with him till she passed on. So that's why women, our women should be honored, the ones that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. I certainly do concur with that, Katya. No, you didn't say that, but I'm just making comments on it.
You're right. And her situation sounds like a lot of our situations now, because some mm-hmm. of us see our children only one time in a year. But that's neither here nor there. But you notice that Samuel's father is not in the picture, is he?
No, they don't say too much. He's just a baby maker, you know. But mama, the hand that rocked the cradle, is the one that had a profound effect on Samuel, the hand that rocked the cradle.
So it shows us we should honor our women more than we do.
Exactly.
Especially our mothers.
You so said a mouthful there, Cartrell. Well, Cartrell, I was going to say something that I would be presumptuous to say. I was going to tell Abby our business because she was telling me something about an accident that she was near in. But I said, Yumsu, that ain't your business. Stay out of Abby our business. And so, you know, tomorrow is a family day. So if she's compelled to tell her story about the near fatal accident that Yah intervened, that's her business. I'm going to let Abby I tell her own business. So I'm going to stay out of Abby I business. But I was happy for her, and I started to put the cart before the horse. So I said, shut up, young Sue. That ain't your business. That's Abby I business. So if Abby I choose to share with you tomorrow, that's fine and then. If she don't, that's Abby I business. But I hope she shared. That's all I'm saying. But I'm going to stay out of her business. I'm going to continue on and taking care of my business. And with Cartrell, he's talking about y'all business. Okay. Turn to chapter 8, y'all.
So for the few little beans you don't spill, told our y'all that she will be around tomorrow, that she's well enough to speak and relay, you know, her experience with us tomorrow. Praise y'all.
Well, you know what, Cartrell, she could very well do it today, Paul, I'm concerned. When we do it, our studies. I mean, she have enough adequate time. Why wait till tomorrow when you can do it today? Getting y'all to praise at Thanksgiving. That's all I'm saying. But like I said, Katya, I'm going to stay out of Abby our business. Okay?
I think you left some beans out the bag already.
I certainly did. I'm pushing in the right direction. All right. Chapter 8, y'all. Let's get busy. At this point in juncture, Samuel grew old. He appointed his sons judges for Israel. The name of his first ones was Joel, and his second son's name was Abijah. They sat as judges in Beersheba. But his son, and that's what Cartrell said. And Cartrell always said it. Sometimes
called
Abijah.
Oh, okay. Abijah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Cartrell always says this, like he just mentioned it. There is no perfect man or perfect woman or perfect circumstances. And it should have been. This father should have had a profound effect upon his son because of the closeness of the relationship. But apparently, that don't seem to be the case here. But his sons did not follow in his ways. They were bent on gain. They were greedy. They accepted bribes, and they subverted justice. All the elders of Israel assembled and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, you have grown old, and your sons have not followed your ways. Therefore, appoint a king for us to govern us like all other nations. We want to be like everybody else. They said, we want to be like everybody else. We don't want Yah's eye king. We want a man king.
So that didn't start in America, did it? Okay.
And they said, thereupon appoint a king for us to govern us like all nations.
And these are the elders, bro.
Yeah, these are the elders,
man.
Right. They shouldn't be better.
Elders ain't always right.
No, they certainly are, Cartrell.
And they say, ain't no fool like an old fool.
And you showed nobody to say, Cartrell. Samuel was displeased that they said, give us a king to govern us. But he didn't argue, fuss, and fight with him. Samuel prayed to Yah, and Yah replied to Samuel. And here's what Yah said to Samuel. Heed the demand of the people and everything they say to you. For it is not you that they reject. Don't take it personal, Samuel. It is me they reject as their king. Like everything else they have done ever since I brought them out of misery to this day. Samuel, don't take this personal. This ain't about you. This is about their relationship with me. They rejected everything I've done, my leadership for them, my love for them, and everything else I've done for them from the moment I brought them out of misery, forsaking me and worshiping other gods. So they are doing to you. Heed their demand, but warn them solemnly, and tell them about the practices of any king who ruled man king. Tell them of what kings do, how they mistreat them, abuse them, and sometimes kill them and dominate them. So Samuel reported all the words of Yah to the people who were asking for a king. I mean, Yah told him, well, look here, if you're going to ask for a king, here's the consequences of it. Yah was fair about it. Yah told him, hey, look up, tell them this is what's going to go down. But nevertheless, who were asking him for a king? And he said, based upon Yah's instructions, this is the practice of kings, men king who rule over you. He would take your sons and appoint them as chariots and horses, put them in his armies. They would serve as outrunners for his chariots. He would appoint them as chiefs of 1,000, of 50s, and they would plow his fields, reap his harvest, make his weapons and equipment for his chariots. He would take your daughters as perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will seize your choice fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his couriers, people who he deal with. He will take a tenth part of your grain and vintage and give it to his eunuchs and couriers. He will take your male and female slaves, your choice young men, and your asses and put them to work for him. He will take a tenth part of your flocks, and you shall become his slaves. The day will come when you will cry out because of the king whom you yourself have chosen. And Yah will not answer you on that day because you asked for it and you're going to get it. But the people would not listen. I mean, Yah gave them a chance back up off that. But no, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be mistreated, abused, and sometimes dominated, sometimes killed by our kings. But no, they said, we must have a king over us that we may be like. Why do you want a king? This is the wrong reason that we may be like other nations. It's not a coherent, constructive reason. Yet, let our king rule over us and go out at our head and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people, he reported it to Yah. He didn't make a decision. He reported to Yah what they said. And Yah said to Samuel, okay, I gave him a chance. He to the man, appoint a king for them. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, all of you go home. Cartrell, my dear brother, my dear friend, I don't know what to say about this, Cartrell. I don't know what to say about us. Yes, I do. We a hot mess and we still the same way, Cottrell. What's your commentary, Cottrell?
We have to understand our purpose as a nation because we're not like the other nations. All this time, they've beaten up kings. They didn't need a king. For 400 years, they didn't need a king. Now, all of a sudden, you need a king to be like the other people.
Yeah.
But they wanted to put that burden on one man. And y'all said, all right, you're going to put that burden on one man, and this is what he's going to do to you. He's going to take everything you've got. He's going to take your sons, your daughters, your manservant, your fields. He's going to make you his slaves. And that's what y'all want.
And he gave him a chance, Cottrell. He gave him a chance to rectify it. They didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, and that's how history goes. We wanted a king. Y'all said, I'm going to give you what you want. And we're going to see how that worked out.
But I'm glad you said what you said, Cartrell. I'm glad you said, which is, we want to be like other nations, but you're not like other nations. You want to superficially, on the outside, look like other nations. But that is not your intricate component. That's not how I design you, Yah. That is not how Yah designed you to have a man king over you. But that what you want? In spite of
tried it with Gideon. Gideon said, nah, I'm not doing that. And you ain't making my son king. Don't even try it.
Mm-mm.
Then they tried to, it was somebody else that they wanted to make king. So now they're asking Samuel to be king. But they're looking at Samuel like they look like at Eli. They just saw what happened with Eli, what his sons did.
Right.
And then Eli didn't check his sons, and Eli was doing violations at the tabernacle.
Right.
And the Most High took Eli out, put a curse on Eli, and took his sons out. But he ain't put that curse on Samuel, which means that it wasn't the same judgment. But in the eyes of the people, you old, you just like Eli, your sons is wilding. We need a king. No, you need to ask Yah, what's next? That's what you need to do. What's next, Yah? We know our elder right here, Sam, is getting old. We need new leadership.
Right.
We need you to inspire someone after the manner of Samuel, because we see so far you haven't given us a king because you are our king.
Mm-hmm.
So we need new leadership. That's all they had to ask for, righteous leadership, righteous judgment. But they didn't ask for that.
But even that, Cartier, when the restoration, the king and the restoration, won't exercise that sort of power over the nation like these kings will do to us outside of King Dawood and King Solomon and a few more. They will
that's
just
the
be
thing right there.
Right.
Because
right.
the Most High wanted to choose a king for our nation. Because he already told Moses, when you have a king, he can't multiply horses, he can't multiply wives. He gave specifications in the book of Moses about the king. So we knew we were going to get a king,
right?
But the king had to be appointed by Yah. The king is never appointed by the people.
No.
That's what we have now in democracy, because the people rule. And when the people rule, things go haywire. So Yah showing you, when the people make the choice, it's going to be a problem.
They're not going by what's good in the nation. This segment over here may like something. They may like goats. This segment over here, they like boys. This section over, they like girls. This section over here, they like gun violence. You know, you can't go by what the people said, Cartrell. Okay? And like you said, our leader, our restoration kingship has to go by Yah. There ain't going to be no taking this and taking that. You got some land that's yours, and that's it. You ain't can't take nothing. You can't take nobody to go to war. Your kingship is under the auspices of the high priest. And, and then your kingship, you just like one of the guys. They respect you as king, but you're not usurping authority over them and running them up. You just one of the brothers, but they know you the king, you know, but you just one of the guys. But they respect your throne, because Yah said respect your throne, and you are according yourself to the rules and regulations of Yah and your kingship. So that's a different component than what we got. And it's a different component by this so-called democracy. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Well, the king's mentality was like one of the gods, but he was more like a celebrity. And
right.
We know how we treat celebrities, so our king was our celebrity. But
right.
It wasn't about him. It was about the power that the Most High gave him to lead our people. And he
right.
had to be connected with the Most High, which is why he had to read the book every day, which,
right.
you know, some did and some didn't. But like you said, it's an intricate relationship.
Right.
Our king, along with Yah, and our people, and who keeps the king in check? Like you said, the priests who reminds him, and the prophets who remind him, and the judges and the elders. So it's checks and balances all the way around.
Exactly.
In our nation. If you're not right with the priests and the prophets and the elders check you, if the elders ain't checking you, then the prophet is checking you. Somebody
mm-hmm.
is checking the king all the time. Now, the king has the power to do what he wants, and he, you know, has to live by the consequences of his actions. And
right.
as you go along in our history, you're going to see that some kings did the right thing, and some kings were like, you know,
but
doing the will of the people.
Israel, I can't see. You, me, and some more elders, the rest of the elders, going up to King Dawood. It's a King Dawood. Based on our studies and whatnot, we don't think that's right. And I can't see King Dawood say, y'all better get y'all ass on out of here. I just don't see, okay?
You know what we do?
Right.
We turn around and get our asses up out of there because the king said, what? What did he say? You don't want to hear the rest of this. Get out of here now. While we still got to get while the feet.
What we do,
God, once you say that, we out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What we do then, God, we go to the high priest?
Now we go back to Yah and say the king told us to get our asses up out of there. So you just
Oh, oh, God damn, we're going to say it just like that. Keith said, get your ass back.
Verbatim. That's his message. That's what he said. I ain't lying on the king. That's what he said.
Yeah. Didn't the God say, yep, that's what he said. Get your ass back. Oh,
but we're going to have a righteous king.
Right.
And some of our people have the mentality we ain't listen to nobody. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Oh, you going to listen to that king when he tell you to do something. I'll tell you
exactly.
that. When the
exactly.
righteous king come and he tells you and he makes an order or he gives a command, we all must submit to the king's command.
Exactly. Because he's righteous. And the relationship is so intricate because there's a lot of love cemented in that relationship. A lot of trust, a lot of love, and it's cemented in that relationship. And there's a lot of common courtesy between one another. All those relationships, righteous relationships, are cemented together through righteousness and love and justice. So it's just easy. It's just like that water flowing out of the temple. It's just easy breezy.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because Proverbs is the fountain of living waters. And it gives us protocols when we're in the presence of kings or great men. You can't
right.
just act a fool in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a certain protocol.
Right.
Especially when you're sitting at their table and get ready to eat their food.
Right.
Like you have to take, you know, cautions and be aware of your actions before these men.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we must know this also, Cartrell. We can't go up there cussing, fussing, and fighting with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to turn on the king's wrath or his king's anger.
Mm-hmm.
He might tell his henchmen, you know,
mm-hmm.
take this man's head right now.
Well, Cartrell, you may
Which
be one. Don't. You may be one of his henchmen. Young Sue may be one of his henchmen. He may say, Cartrell, I want you and Sue to be one of my couriers. What are we going to do? We can't turn the king down. So, you know. We just try to be right.
I'm not quite suited for that job. There's some cutthroat brothers that are like the Levites. They won't hesitate to take you out if you violate them. I'm a little more compassionate. Like, get a brother a chance. Can he get a second, you know, opportunity? If the king say do it, can't hesitate, you got to do it. So he needs some, like, you know, lethal dudes that will do it at his command.
Exactly.
So he ain't going to choose me because I ain't that type of dude. But if my life is at stake, hey, I'm going to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was young and I was a warrior, trust me, I'd give my life for the king.
Yeah, you and me both. Cartrell.
Yes, sir.
If you're done with your commentaries, brother.
Uh-huh.
And we'll move right along to our last segment of our study session.
Yes. We're in the book of Proverbs, once again, the 26th chapter of our great king, King Solomon, whom the Most High blessed with the greatest wisdom any man has ever had. So we need to pay close attention and apply the wisdom that he's given us. We give thanks to the Most High for even creating our king, King Solomon, and allowing him to impart his wisdom upon us. As snow in summer and as rain in the harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. So you know the people on Fool's Book ain't getting no honor. Cause
no.
It's like snow in the summertime. You ain't getting snow in the summertime. It's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And rain in the harvest is a bad deal. You're trying to gather the crop and it's raining.
Right.
As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. So you try to curse somebody, it's not going to really have any effect if it's without cause, if it's
mm-hmm.
without righteous intent.
Mm-hmm.
A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Oh, they would charge you with abuse if you went to Fool's Book with a rod to put on the
You ain't lying, though. I
just it shows you the extent that you need to harness fools. It's like you got to whip the horse and make the horse go. Or you got to put the bridle on an ass so he don't turn to the left or to the right. He goes where you want him to go. I mean, those are drastic measures. And a rod. If you don't put the rod on the back of the fool, you're going to be like a wild horse or a wild ass. And we see that. So answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Which is why I stay 5,000 miles away from Fool's Book. I just post here and there. But I don't get into debates or arguments with fools and their folly. Because first of all, they don't know what they're talking about, nor will they research truth. Right? They lean upon their own understanding. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So there's times you got to answer a fool in his foolishness. How much sense does that make, what you're saying? Did you ever think about what you're saying? And you got to sometimes make people think about what they're saying. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. So you don't want to send a fool with a positive message, all right? So that's why. That's why. Being fools, they don't really have the message of the Most High in their lips or in their conversation, because Yah hasn't sent them. It says, "The legs of the lame are not equal." So is a parable in the mouth of fools. So you could drop this science, this wisdom that we're reading about now on fools, and it'd be like a man with a crooked leg. They're still not equal. He's still got a crooked leg. he that bindeth a stone to a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. So,
y'all
honor them fools on Fool's Book, and you follow the fools on Fool's Book. It's like putting a sling around your neck and throwing it in the water. It says, the great Elohim that formeth all things, both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Yeah, you reap what you sow. Everybody gets a reward. It's something for everybody. You reap what you sow, right?
Exactly.
We see America reaping the violence. Oh, why is there so many shootouts almost every day? Well, it's like the Wild Wild West, right?
Yeah.
Outlaws. America was built by outlaws. They rebelled against the king of England, didn't they? Rebels. They told the king, these colonies, we're taking them. We're making our own country. And we're not going to have no king ruling us. We're going to rule we the people. No more kings. No more sovereignty. Democracy.
Right.
And that's what we're in the mix of right now.
Every cook for himself.
Yep. And your vote, do it really count? As a dog returned to his vomit, so a fool returned to his folly. That's why they can't get a fool's book. Because they don't know no better.
Mm-hmm.
He's a style of man, wise in his own conceit. Oh, just go on fool's book. People are wise in their own eyes. They haven't read. They haven't done research. But they speak as if they know. There is more hope for a fool than of him. So you got people who are scholars, and we call them educated fools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better that a fool gets honor than him. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the street. So what's going to happen to that man? He ain't going outside, is he? And if he stays inside, how is he going to eat? How is he going to sustain himself? Because fear will keep you frozen in place. So the Most High saying, even if there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets, you got to go out there and get the job done anyway, right? Impede you. So a lot of people, a lot of fear to impede them. And their dreams are never really achieved. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. So you know how slow a door turns, right? Open. And you're going to find a lazy person laying in the bed. Some people sleep all day. I don't know how they do it. But I've seen some people who can sleep all day, every day. Like, wow. Life is going right past you.
I'm fortunate if I can get me 6-7, but on the average, about 5 hours, I'm up and at them.
Yeah, man. I got a body clock. I don't stay up past 11:30, and I don't get up no later than 5 o'clock
mm-hmm.
every day. Saturday,
right.
Sunday, 7 days a week. Same pattern.
Right.
If I don't get up, my body start hurting, so I got to shake it all out, get loose, and get started for the day.
Right.
It says, the sluggard is wise in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. So people who think they're smart won't even listen to counsel, even wise men, who are doing things that he can't do. He that passes by and meddles with strife. Say that again?
I said they won't listen to reason.
No, not at all. There is no reason, no common sense.
Mm-mm.
He that passes by... and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him. It's like one that taketh the dog by the ears. So mind your own business, in other words, and stay out of other people's business. If you have no bearing in a situation, let them work it out.
Exactly.
If they need your help, they'll call you.
They don't need your oxygen or nonsense, okay?
Right. Anybody want to throw their 2 cent in? But you don't want to take a pit bull by the ears, especially if you don't know him.
Right.
You take a pit bull by the ears and see the results of that.
Well, that means any one of the people that had issue could take issue with you, either side. I mean, you can get bit on the left side, you get bit on the right side. So either one of these parties could take issue with you and do something to you.
And what you going to do? Go running that you got bit by a dog. Should have been minding your own business.
Bingo. Stay out of other folks' business. Where it don't concern you. So like I stayed out of Abbey, I business by...
Oh, no, you didn't. You might get bit for that.
You think I'm going to get bit for a country?
Yeah, man. You might get bit. Well, I'm here right by your side, brother. I'll be watching.
If she bite me, I deserve it.
As a madman who casts firebrand arrows in death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? So don't play around with people. People don't like you playing around, playing pranks on them. Sometimes it goes too far.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So you're supposed to always be on the up and up with, you know, your peoples.
Exactly.
As coals are to burning coal and wood to fire, so is a contentious man can do strife. And that's what we do all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't try to make peace. We try to inflame situation.
Right.
And carry on situation.
Mm-hmm.
You're just adding fuel to the fire rather than trying to resolve the situation the way our ancient fathers, who were wise, were able to handle situations and defuse them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. They didn't look to fuss, fight, and argue, and sometimes kill one another.
Yes, they did. But then there were some that didn't.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're right. You're right. And I do stand corrected. Yes, they did.
You forgot You forgot so quick. Yeah. We were like that. We've been like
that's
that. I've been saying we need to change.
That's why contrary studies are essential to go over and over again.
Yes, reflections.
Mm-hmm.
Reflections of the way life used to be. Yeah, we're looking at a reflection of ourselves.
Exactly.
Reflection of where we come from.
Exactly.
How we need to change so bad. And you are showing us the way to change. He's giving us the antidotes.
Exactly.
The words of a talebearer are as wounds. If I tell you something, don't go running around telling anybody what I tell you in confidence.
Because
that's going to hurt me. Like, damn, I try to tell this brother something in confidence. Not everybody know. Damn.
if Country wanted everybody to know, he'd have told him. Okay?
Yep. And what happened?
Right.
They go down in the most part of your belly. You're never going to forget that. I told his brother something in confidence. He went out and told everybody.
I got to repent, Country. I'm a talebearer. I just found that out. I'm a talebearer. I told Abby our business somewhat. I'm a talebearer. I'm sorry, Abby. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten your business.
Okay. Learn something new every day.
Yeah, I'm a talebearer. I'm sorry, Abby. Okay.
I'm looking for that pit bull, though. I'm standing right by you, bro.
Since she going to still bite me.
You already grabbed a pit bull by the ear, man. Spiritually speaking.
I very may have, Country. I'm truth be told. You know, Abby, I can get sassy.
Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. I don't know what that means. But I know a potsherd is something like a container.
Mm-hmm.
And silver dross, I don't know where that comes from. But burning lips and a wicked heart, we've seen lots of that, especially in politics in America.
Right.
He that hateth disassembleth with his lips. Yes, that's true. And layeth up deceit within him. So we see a lot of disassembling and hatred going on in social media. That's a fact. They call it social media. I call it unsocial social media.
Right.
When he speaketh fair, don't believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Yeah, we know deceitful people. They smile in your face all the time. They would stab you in your back.
Real backstabbers.
Yeah. Beware the flatterers, whose hatred is covered by deceit, lying in their tongue. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. And that, in a nutshell, is the American Constitution, the American Bill of Rights, everything that we've learned since we've been in this Western Hemisphere. Because their hatred is covered by deceit. All men are created equal. They are endowed by the Creator. When they're calling us three-fifths of a human being, and still treating us like we're three-fifths of a human being, less than dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? His deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Do we see their wickedness? Do we see their deceit?
We certainly do.
And what are we going to do about it? You're going to still try to make them change? when they hatred and they hate and they still try to deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
Who diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall therein. So we know there's many traps that are laid for our people, whether it be drugs, guns, incarceration, breaking up on a family. All these traps that they set for us has backfired and hit them as well. So I say drugs is the biggest one. I remember in the 70s when drugs first came into our neighborhood, it devastated and ravaged our neighborhoods. Before drugs, I mean, we had so much trust and love for each other. They called us soul people. And once some drugs and guns came into our communities, all hell broke loose. But it's plagued America. So now we got Americans strung out on Oxycontin and Percocet and what's the other one? Fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
It's of biblical plague proportion throughout America. And therefore mm-hmm. you have a plague of guns and shootouts and crime and mayhem and bloodshed because they set traps for us. A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So, yeah, somebody lying to you, that means they hate you.
Exactly.
Because we've been afflicted by the hate that they've been talking for a long time. And they've been lying to us about who we are. They've been lying to us about a lot of things, so many things, so many lies. The religious lies, the political lies, the historical lies. The lies we learn in school, so many lies. And guess what? We're afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So they'll, you know, butter you up and make you feel good, but you're still in a bad situation. We live in a state of ruin. Even though they love our music, they love our style, there's a deceitful hatred that they have for us. And what's on display now? America's being judged in the courts of the world on this George Floyd case because everybody's watching. See what America's going to do. Mm. And you ain't got to be no doctor like Dr. Tobin, all these technical people that's coming in to tell you what happened. You can see with your own eyes what actually happened.
Exactly. Well, if you're done, Kaitreya, well, we've done for the day our study session.
Mm-hmm.
And all right. I don't want no trouble, have ya. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Abia. May the Most High bless you. Your name is in the book.
Shalom, brothers. Shalom. First things first, all praises to the Holy One of Israel, the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
The merciful God who gives mercy and so love and compassion to his folks. Merciful.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. I know you praying that I have mercy on you right now. And that I just wanted to say one thing to you first. You remind me of Ralph Cramlin from The Honeymoons. I got a big mouth. But that's okay because whether you had said it or not, I was coming to say it or anywhere because I don't have to wait, like Brother Contrell said, until tomorrow, and you said it too. I mm-hmm. praise y'all all the time, and especially on occasions like this, but I'm a nonstop praiser. But what had happened was, I believe you'd call it, it was would have been a T-bone accident.
Yeah, T-bone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe they call it, and that's the way the street was made.
Uh-huh.
And my son was driving, and we was coming up the hill, and this car was coming down like the top of the T-part, and he was feeding while we were getting ready to come in. And I looked, and I saw the car was nothing I could see. I froze in the seat, and I just knew I was gone, or that I was going to be damaged where beyond this, it was going to take a whole lot of repairs. For me and my son.
Wow.
But my son's car just stopped. And that car just kept on speeding on down about his business. My son said, Mom, I didn't do that. And I knew right there. He might not realize it, but his reflex hit that brake right on time, and y'all had played the role in that. He made sure we were okay and safe. And still to this morning when I woke up, I praise y'all. Like I said, I'm a nonstop because I could be walking and thinking about everything, anything else, but something comes over me and I say, thank you, Father. You know, but yesterday it was a wake up and even confirm what I felt. And this is not, like I told y'all before, this is not the first thing like this that has happened to me. I remember I was on the sixth floor, almost going out the window. I didn't know I was going to go out the window, but my arms raised up and hit both sides of the thing, and it stopped me from going out the window. Nothing but y'all was there with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just keep on praising and just, it's nonstop. I just say hallelujah, and I just keep on pushing. And now, one more thing I wanted to say about the lesson in Samuel. You're so right about that. What I thought about was, look at this. Every 4 years, we're searching. They got us searching for a new king to come in there, and each one done treated us like we dirt and everything, but being that stiff neck and still fools instead of coming together and just worshiping y'all like we supposed to, we continue to do the same thing. I'm finished now. I say I will not vote again. I done prayed on everything, and my head is coming clear, and y'all spared my life and my son's life, and I'm just so grateful, and I'm grateful for y'all, you two brothers, because y'all helped me to keep on this path and giving me the help me to get this information and understanding that I need. And the wisdom is coming, you know, it's just, I'm just so filled right now. I'm just grateful.
Hallelujah.
Praise y'all. And like I said, y'all bless both of you brothers. Shalom.
God bless you too.
Thank you, Abby.
And
you
just sent his guardian angels to protect you.
Yeah. It certainly did. I knew that, Cottrell. And I was just so happy for her that I had to express myself. And my apologies.
No apologies. No apologies. All praises.
All praises. All right, y'all. Well, you heard Sister Abby out from New York City. You've heard Brother Cottrell from New York City. You've heard Yum Stu from Memphis, Tennessee. What's his state number? Whatever the state number, that's prison number. Well, you heard us. I think New York is, where was New York made? I think it's prison number 5 or 6.
10460.
Exactly.
I'm 901. Prison number 901. In all seriousness, we hope something that each one of us said may compel you to seek Yah, may compel you to let Yah direct and order your steps, may compel you to do a critical analysis and assessment of Yah, so you can be everything that Yah will have you be, and he can offer his protection to you. As he given our sister Avia, sending an angel to protect her and her son. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful. And no need to thank Cottrell and I. Thank y'all. We are just servants of the Most High. And we're happy to be servants, just servants of the Most High. And being in a position that we can go along with these studies together. And we can study together. And we can straighten each other up, point people in the right direction. When in error and when correct, to heed the counsel of Yah and apply it to our lives. That's what it's all about. It's not about us being anything special. It's about just doing what we do because we can do it. And and trying to draw us together and so we can all follow Yah's mandate and instructions. That's what it's all about. Cartrell, do you have any comments before we get out of here?
That was a bad tale, Barry. You know, that tale that you bet you have good news. So you ain't gonna tear her down or make her look bad. But
right.
It's to glorify the Most High. So some tale bearing can be good.
Right.
And I'm glad she showed you mercy because
right.
She could have written
a bar. I am too. All right, fellow students, you've listened to Cartrell from New York City, Yumsu from Memphis, and you've heard the word of Yah. So the question is, since you've heard about it, you've been given a bird's eye view of it, and that Yah didn't change, what are you going to do about it? Well, we love you. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding, please. And as a matter of fact, we always conclude with this. If a new thinker is good enough for your king, are you any better than your king? Ask for a new thinker, because the one you got is not working for you. It's worked entirely against you. And it is keeping your relationship with your true king, not man king, your true king, keeping you separated from him. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Express yourself.
Express yourself.
You've got to express.